right. So, hi, I'm Alex, and this is Six Seasons and a Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to having conversations with the writers and actors of the hit comedy community. And today is my pleasure to talk with Jordan Black, who came up from the Groundling.
Hey,
there he is. He wrote for SNL, starred in Comedy Central shows. Now he writes for TV and acts and community fans. You'll know him as Dean Stevens Breck. So Jordan Black, welcome to Six Seasons and a Podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You know, before we get into the character, I like learning about your influences that go into your writing and your performance. So tell me a little bit about the shows that you grew up on.
Oh, God. I mean, like, I was born in 1970, so I started with all the 60s and 70s, because 60s shows were being rerun. I would start with Happy Days. That was my favorite show when I was a really little kid because of Fonzie. It's really what got me into acting, was I love that show so much, and I love Fonzie so much that I wanted to do whatever Fonzie did, and since Fonzie was on TV, I wanted to be on TV.
Cool.
Luckily, I always tell people, luckily, I didn't realize Fonzie's character was a mechanic, because otherwise, I'd probably be a mechanic.
Do you have any other favorite actors then as...
The gamut, I have a ton. The shows I grew up watching just at home were like that show, Laverne and Shirley, which came on right after it, The Brady Bunch, which was in syndication at that time, I loved and still love, I watched everything. I was a TV baby, so I grew up in front of the TV, just watching everything that came on TV. All the shows, Love Boat, Fantasy Island, all the 80s shows, Different Strokes, all those shows.
Sure.
Everything. I watched everything. There's not a show from the 70s and 80s that I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah, cool. Did you always want to be a performer?
Yeah, I always wanted to act since I was a little kid. Ever since I was a little kid, I knew I wanted to act. Like I said, from watching Happy Days, that made me want to be an actor. And I never wanted to be anything else from that time forward to the time I was about 7 or 8 till now.
Yeah. How about writing? When did that kind of hit you?
Writing really came just completely out of the blue kind of for me. I always wrote when I was a kid. I used to write short stories, and I did creative writing in junior high or high school. I can't remember which. And I always liked, my favorite class was always English, which was reading and writing. But I just had my heart was just set on acting, so I never considered writing as a calling for me. And then when I was at Groundlings, and I was, at Groundlings, you have to write. I was a student at the Groundlings, and I got into the main company eventually after a few years of taking classes. And I auditioned for this show, which I know you spoke to Andy about, called Hype.
Yeah.
And I auditioned to be in the cast, and I didn't get the job. But they came back and asked me if I'd be willing to write. And I said, yes. I was flattered. I was surprised, because I never thought about writing before. And they offered me a writing job to write. It was a sketch comedy show on the WB. And I took that job, and that really sort of got me started, where I was able to start getting writing jobs. So I never even thought about it before that.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so that's... The Hype TV is kind of the origin story for you and Andy, as far as getting into TV. That's really interesting. Cool. Well, let's talk about Groundlings some, because I think fans here, well, he came up in the Groundlings, and I think contextually we kind of can know that that's a really prestigious thing and it's really well respected. But, you know, let's talk about your time there. You know, what is the Groundlings? Let's first start with that.
The Groundlings is a theater company here in Los Angeles that does sketch and improv comedy. He's been around since 1974, I believe, 74 or 75, but I think it's 74. And they do, you know, we do shows every Friday, Saturday night. The main company does. I'm an alum, so I'm no longer in the main company. Yeah. They do shows every Friday, Saturday night, sketch and improv shows. And then throughout the week, we have different types of shows, improv shows. So I do a couple of improv shows there. From time to time, one that I do every week and one that I do once a month. And And that gave me an opportunity to perform every week and be seen by people in the industry, by casting people, writers, directors, those types of people. And it really opened up the door for me in the industry to be able to start getting work. And for those who aren't completely unfamiliar with it, like, we have a very illustrious alum, history of a famous alum, people like, you know, Pee Wee Herman came out of there, Lorraine Newman. They were like some of the earlier years. Like, Lorraine was an original member. If you, those who know Lorraine from the original cast of Night Live, she was an original groundling. Mm-hmm. Paul Rubens was in the group in the 80s. More recent, like, Will Ferrell came out of there. Kristen Wiig came out of there. Melissa McCarthy. And Will Forte. Yep. And then tons of, Maya Rudolph, tons of writers and writer producers and actors. Like, I'll tell you, like, when I joined the Sunday Company, which is the last level of the school where you perform every Sunday, when I first joined, in that cast in the Sunday Company was Will Forte, Maya Rudolph, Cheryl Hines, Andy Bobrow, Emily Spivey, who's a big writer producer now, wrote on SNL forever, and is an act sometimes too. She started acting. Who else? Rachel Harris in that cast. Jim Rash, Matt Faxon, Melissa McCarthy, Ben Falcone. They were all in Sunday Company with me, amongst, I'm sure, other people I'm forgetting. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah. So, and then, like, Kristen Wiig and I, we were in an improv group together in the 90s. And then we both ended up in the Groundlings together at a different time. She came a little after me in the Groundlings. Yeah.
Do you remember your audition? Do you remember much about joining the group?
Yes, I remember everything. I remember initially when I first started doing improv here in L.A., I was just in a lot of random improv and sketch comedy groups, like the one I was in with Kristen, that was called Sane Asylum. And we would put on these shows, and we never could get audiences. We never could get industry to come out and see us, and we felt like we were doing good work, you know, me and the other people in these groups, and nobody was coming. And I heard about the Groundlings, but I'd heard, like, you know, that you had to pay classes, you had to pay for these classes. And my attitude was like, well, I don't want to pay for classes just to do what I'm already doing, which is doing sketch and improv. So I was just like, no, I'm just going to keep doing shows like this, and, you know, and somebody will eventually discover my talent. And then that never happened. And I realized that I needed to go where people went to find talent, which was the Groundlings.
Yeah.
So I bit the bullet reluctantly initially and started taking classes. But as soon as I started taking classes, I realized I'd made the right move, because everybody in the classes was just so talented and so good. And I realized that this is where the best people doing this were. And so the rest after that is history.
What kind of things did you perform while you're on the show or the group?
Well, at the Groundlings, we did a lot of shows. It's all mostly sketch writing. Mm-hmm. And so it's mostly sketches and then some improv when you're doing like the Sunday show, or when you're in the main company, the main show. So, I mean, I did every kind of sketch you could imagine. Every kind of improv you could imagine. I mean, it ran the gamut. And the great thing about the Groundlings is before the Groundlings, I never really honed my writing skills. But because the Groundlings, writing is such a big part of what they teach, you have to write so much. Like, you know, in any given show, if you have two or three writing credits in the show, you probably wrote 9 or 10 sketches to get those two or three writing credits, sometimes more than that. So it just gets you in the habit of constantly writing, taking notes, throwing stuff away that doesn't work. And it helps you to grow a thick skin, because when you're going through the program, you have a director or a teacher who's saying to you, nope, throw it out. And so by the time you start writing in a writer's room, taking notes from studios and networks, your feelings just don't get hurt, because you're so used to someone saying, that's not funny. Next, what do you have? Next.
Yeah.
So it really builds up. The groundlings that I work with tend to have thick skins and don't take it. Two person can move on pretty quickly from an idea if it's not working.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Thanks for sharing that. Do you remember what you had given Hype TV for as your writing piece? I think Andy mentioned. Do you remember?
I'm sure I gave him some sketches from Groundlings. I know I gave him a sketch. One of the sketches we ended up doing on the show. So I can tell you about those.
Sure. Yeah.
And actually, I'll tell you about this one first because Andy and I had written the sketch and we ended up doing it at Height, and it was called Kid Rook.
Yeah.
And it was basically, I'll give you the inspiration behind it was oh my God, what's the tennis player's name from the 90s who was married to Brooke Shields?
Yeah, Andre Agassi.
Andre Agassi was the bad boy of tennis, and that used to annoy me because I'd go, there's no such thing. You can't play tennis and be a bad boy. They cancel each other out.
Yeah.
You're not the bad boy of tennis, so stop. So then I pitched this idea to Andy to do the bad boy of chess.
Yeah.
And we write a sketch about the bad boy of chess. So I played the bad boy of chess, and Andy played like my hype man / manager in this sketch. Where just like, you know, it's like ESPN was showing like this huge chess match and my character comes out and he's got dancing girls and he's rapping and they're singing and he's talking a lot of trash. Then he sits down to play and it's two moves and he loses and he's out. And it's like, but it was all hype. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
He's a bad boy of chess, so that's all he needed.
Yeah.
You know, the rest, it didn't matter if he could play or not. And so that one is one that I know I pitched to them that was in my packet. And then another one was this one I wrote with another Groundling alum, Danielle Gaither, and I. We wrote a sketch called Down. Don't ask me why it's called that. But it was about these two black people who work in an office together. One of them is their first day. I think it was my character's first day in this office. And we're the only two black people working in this office. So they bring me in and introduce me to all my coworkers. They're going, hey, welcome, welcome. If you need anything, blah, blah, right? Then everybody leaves, and then just the black coworker, Danielle, is left, and she turns to me and she goes, hey, brother. And it's like this whole thing about how when there's no white people around, the black people just talk like, you know, stereotypical black people. What's up, girls? How are these white folks treating you? Then somebody will walk in and be like, so anyway, if you need to know how to work the cotton machine.
Yeah, I love it. That's funny.
Yeah, so that, and both of those sketches ended up on Hype because Danielle was in the cast of Hype. And then Andy and I were in the writer's room.
Nice. Oh, that's really great. Well, how do you think then that prepared you for being on Community? The acting, the just the experience. You knew Jim. Did you know that you'd be with him in that scene?
Yeah, once I booked it and knew what the scene was, I knew what my scene was with Jim.
Yeah.
So how did I was prepared in this sense. By the time I did Community, I'd done a lot of television acting at that point, so I was used to doing sitcoms. I mean, Community was a different beast because it was an opportunity to be on a show that I knew people loved, the show.
Yeah.
And I knew it had a lot of good press and great reviews and all of that. So it was exciting. And I had, you know, I'd auditioned for the show at least a couple of times before that and didn't get the part. And then they just offered me, the part of the evil dean. Prepared me was, I'll tell you a couple of things. One, I had worked with the Russo brothers previous to this, and they liked me, which is how I ended up coming in auditioning for a Community. Is they were producing the show and directing, and so they would bring me into stuff that they were working on all the time and to audition. And when I got on set, I did it, and I did the part the way I sort of envisioned it. And then I want to say it was Anthony Russo who came up to me and said, kind of do it how Jim does it on the show, right? How Jim plays his character, sort of like mimic Jim's character's personality. But the problem was I had never watched the show.
Yeah.
So I had no clue how Jim played his character. But because I had been in Groundlings with Jim for years at this point and done tons of shows with Jim, I could kind of figure an attitude Jim might have, how he played something.
Yeah.
So I just tried what I thought Jim probably was probably in the ballpark. And I guess they liked it. It was close enough, I guess. And so that helped a lot, you know, just the fact that I knew Jim well enough to kind of give a swing at what I thought he might be doing with the character.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think over the course of six seasons, there's a lot of great characters, but Dean Spreck stands out as like, you know, like with one of the best villains that the show has. And
I'll tell you, Alex, people love that show so much. And I was always surprised at how much they love the evil Dean. Like, it always, I mean, I appreciate it, but it always surprised me. You're like, the evil Dean. I'm like, oh, great. I mean, because I only did like five episodes of the show.
Yeah.
And they were always great and always fun. But people really do remember that character, which is, you know, very flattering. It's a testament to the writing on the show, I think, more than anything, that they were able to create such a memorable character and such a short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just watched some of the episodes that you're in, and I think just from the first scene that you're in and you kind of introduced to this character, you get, I think you nail like this antithesis to Jim's character. I think it's definitely a yin and yang, situation. Yeah. And, I think, yeah. So, I mean, you're just like, wait a second, there's an evil Dean. Like there's the whole idea that you can have, wait, we grew up with this Dean in season one, but now there's an evil Dean. And, so I think fans just really, really appreciate that. And,
And it was a lot of fun because, like, working with Jim is always fun because I'm such a huge fan of his. He is one of the absolute funniest people, and I love being on stage with him at Groundlings and doing improv with him. I mean, he cracks me up nonstop, and we have such great chemistry together, which the truth is Jim just has great chemistry with everybody because he really is that good. So it's always fun to be on a scene with him, always fun because you know he's going to, like, wherever you take it, wherever you go, he's going to be right there with you, and he's going to up the ante and just, you know, and just make it so incredibly fun. So it's always so much fun working with him.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of like mystery around your character because there's so many, I think, left unsaid backstory and future stories. And, you know, like, did they give you much of a, like, this is the history between Dean Pelton and Dean Spreck. Did they give you that much of that?
They didn't. What they told me once was that they were thinking about doing this, they told me that, and I think this might be in the show, that we went to, we knew each other's kids, and we went to Dean camp together.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's in the first episode that I did.
Yeah.
And then I remember at one point they were saying, they never did this, but I remember at one point on set, somebody was saying to me, they were thinking, like, maybe we'll do either a flashback to something or maybe there's a scene at some point where you see the two of them in bed together.
Yeah.
So, but we never did that.
Yeah.
So I know that they were thinking about, you know, what's the story here between these two? What's really going on?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing in canon, so to speak, but there's clearly, I mean, your lean into his ear is so good. Like, you just, like, you can feel the tension. You can feel, like, wait a second. It was awesome. That's a great, great scene.
Yeah, there's something a little, they hate each other, but there's a little something to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this goes beyond school and school, you know, rivalry. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And one thing I'll say, my first time on set, I was talking to Andy because Andy wrote that episode, my first episode on the show. And he was talking about how I got the role. And he was saying something to the effect of when they were trying to cast the role or talking about it in the writer's room. And they were bringing up all like these names, these celebrity names, you know, that could play the part. And he said, and then Dan Harmon was like, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, it's great. We could get a name, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, let's just get somebody funny. Like, why can't we just get somebody funny to play this part? You know, like Jordan Black. And I remember him telling me that. And I was so flattered because, A, I was surprised Dan Harmon knew my name.
Sure.
And two, it was just a nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and that Dan thought I was funny, you know, like that he thought I was funny. And
yeah,
that he had me on his radar as someone who was just funny for the sake of being funny. And I remember always loving hearing that. And it just, so whenever people ask me, what was Dan like? I'm like, well, I love him because he liked me.
Yeah, I haven't yet to hear many. I mean, there are things he's, you know, he would admit them, but you know, but glowing reviews about Dan, and you know, obviously it took a lot to make the show. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was a slog, but you know, that's a great story.
I mean, he's undeniably talented.
Yeah,
so it's just like, can you handle how the sausage is made? You know.
that's a great way to put it. Yep. So in season two finale, you revealed as Pistol Patty. Were you in that costume the whole time? I mean, or did they?
Yeah. I did not have a double.
Oh man, what was that like? What was the? You know, you got two really epic episodes that you got to be a part of.
I know those are my favorites because those are like really big storylines for my character, so of course I loved doing that. It was so much fun. I mean, if memory serves, I don't remember the suit being that big of a inconvenience for me. Like, I wasn't like hating it. It wasn't like super hot, if I'm remembering correctly. And I think we probably got my scenes fairly quickly when I was in the suit, because I would think it would have ended up being.
But you end up taking off your hat anyway. You take off the
yeah, exactly. At the end of the first episode.
Yeah,
I think I took off my head. Yeah, but or at the end of the second one, I can't remember. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, all I remember about it is that it was so much fun doing those episodes. Because when you have good writing and a great cast, I mean, like, there's nothing to complain about.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not the type to complain about being on set all day because I love being on set. I'll stay on set forever. I always hate when they say wrap. I'm never like, oh, I'm ready to go home. I always want to stay on set. I love it.
So, yeah. There's so many great actors you get to be with. So, I mean, that's
And everybody was so nice to me on that set.
Yeah.
So including Chevy. Chevy was very nice to me.
Yeah, again, I hear some nice stories about him, but he, you know, everyone has their baggage. Everyone, you know.
Right. I mean, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I was in the original Hairspray, believe it or not.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. You mean the movie or Broadway?
The movie, the original movie.
Oh, okay.
The John Waters movie. Way back in the 80s. In the 80s. My mom took us out of school for a week to shoot as extras. Coolest mom ever. Because they were filming.
Did they shoot it in Baltimore?
No, this was up in the Lehigh Valley, north of Philly. They filmed it at this amusement park. So there's like that amusement park scene where there's like the riot.
Yeah.
They filmed that up at the amusement park near me. And I remember like best week ever being on set. I got to meet Ricky Lake, Divine, all sorts of, amazing people as like an 8-year-old. I think I was 8.
That's great. That is a cool mom.
Yeah, it is. Very, very cool mom. But I just remember, like, you know, so give us a little bit more about, you know, what it's like being on set, being in between takes, what's that like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in general, I love being on set. I love everything about being on set. I don't even like being in my trailer. I like being on set, watching the other actors work. I love all of it. I love watching the crew work. Because, it's for me, because this is my dream, there's something magical about it.
Sure.
I always pinch myself when I'm on set. Mm-hmm. And on Community was great because I knew the Russos, so I got to, chat with them, catch up with them. Mm. I knew Andy, so I got to, chat with him and Jim Rash and, talk to those guys and hang out with those guys. So it was a lot of fun, to be on set and just hanging out with everybody. That's the most fun for me is in between takes when I can just hang out with the cast or the crew, people I know. I particularly love working with friends when I get to work on things with friends, which definitely on Community, I had that opportunity. So it's just hanging out. It's like hanging out at work all day around the water cooler and just chatting and gossiping and catching up and all the fun that goes into that. And then when it's time to work, you're actually glad to work because that's fun too. So it's a real joy for me. I know some actors, I've been on many sets with actors like, oh, can we go? Can we hurry? Can we do this? I'm like, I'm in no hurry. Where am I going? Home? I'm just going to go home. So what's the big deal? Yeah. Home is not as fun as being on a set for me. So,
Do you have any other memorable moments?
No offense to my wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all
good. I love my wife, you know. But.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. I have to beg to come back down and do the podcast and go, the kids, it's early tonight. Do you mind if I, love the kids, love my wife, but, enjoy talking with you and others about the show. It's a lot of fun.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my little slice. I mean, give me that. I don't know. It's not.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that.
Yeah. Do you have any other memorable moments from the show?
One thing, I'm sure from talking to other people, you probably already know this, but every time I would come to set to shoot, they'd be so behind schedule that they'd still be shooting the episode from the week before that they were supposed to be shooting.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, well, so-and-so's over on the other stage still shooting last week's episode. So that was always hilarious to me that they were always so far behind, which, you know, the show is famous for Dan being so far behind all the time.
Yeah.
Let me think, what else? Like I said, Chevy was always super nice to me from the first time I got on set.
Did he ever do that thing where he's like, he tests you? Do you have a story about him testing you at all? Like a lot of the, like
no,
Andy was,
all.
No. Okay. Andy was like, he said,
no, he didn't do that with me. He was, he really was nice. And I think because I was a guest,
okay,
he felt like he had to be on his best behavior.
Yeah. That makes sense.
would be my guess.
Yeah.
They did want me to come in and do something season 6 and I couldn't cause I wasn't available. And that was a bummer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was booked on something else, and so I couldn't come.
The nerds will eat that one up. That's cool. It's interesting that they would wanted to do something with your character for season 6.
Yeah, and I don't know. I never knew what it was.
Yeah, but, no, that's great.
But I couldn't do it, and so you know, at the time they needed me, you know.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen. So that was a real bummer because I really wanted to do that last season.
Yeah. I mean, you did season 4 and they kind of, for that little flash, the tag at the end, did they ever tell you know, like did, so Chang's got his plot to take over and you're, it's revealed that you're the man behind, you know, that he's been talking to the whole season. Did they ever give you any details on like, all right.
No, never.
No.
I was like, just like the fans, like going, I can't wait to see what happens.
That's funny. Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of speculation about your character because I think there are some unresolved tensions and unresolved issues.
Yeah, for sure.
So, there's whenever COVID ends and they can pick back up with production, you're going to have to make yourself available for a movie because I'm confident that you're in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm dying for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm dying for them to do a movie so I can come back and find out what happens to my character.
Okay. All right. So this is, you're committing. I'll forward this on to Dan.
I'm 100% committed, Alex. I am committed. I will make myself available.
Awesome. All right. Good. I like that. I think they actually asked that question in the Q&A today with the study group about who's in for a movie and they all raised their hands.
Yeah.
Even Donald Glover, I think he reluctantly raised his hand. So, if we can, he's a busy man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's a talented, busy man.
Whether I am in it or not, they should do the movie. They got to do the movie. Yeah. 6 seasons on a movie. You can't not do the movie.
I agree with you. Do you have a fantasy revenge plot like that you'd think? Have you thought about like what the Dean would?
Yes.
Nice.
This is what I, here's my fantasy revenge. It's two versions of it. One where Dean Pelton gets fired and I take over his school.
Oh, nice.
Or Dean Cousin gets fired and there's some budget cuts and they merge the schools and they make me the new dean and then he has to work under me.
Oh, I like it. Man, this is why you need a writer. Yeah, of course, because you're a writer. You'd like, you, of course, you've come up with amazing plots. Awesome. I love it.
And so then the evil dean has taken over Greendale. And then we'll see what happens. And then they got to get rid of the evil dean.
Oh, nice.
And that's the plot of the movie.
Nice.
How do we get rid of this evil dean and get Dean Tolton his job back?
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. For catharsis, I started learning how to kind of write and, you know, do some screenwriting and just for fun. Don't worry. I'm not coming for anyone's job.
I'm sure Dan Harmon needs no help in the writing department.
Exactly.
But of course, I'm an actor too. So my version of the movie, my character is central to it.
Yeah. Well, in the...
I got a lot of lines.
Yes, exactly. A lot of exposition. Definitely a monologue or two.
Yeah, exactly. A nice moment.
Yeah. Well, in my version, you're definitely up the main villain. Jeff gets kidnapped by Colombians, and the study group has to go save him. But in the meantime, the Greendale it's kind of a merge situation too. I think that, there's an annexing of Greendale by the City College. So, I think it can happen. And
it can totally happen.
Yeah.
It can totally make it happen. If Dan Harmon decides he wants to do the movie.
Yeah. He's a linchpin. So, yeah, do you have any favorite, as a fan, do you have any favorite episodes of the show?
Okay, now here, Alex, is where you're going to hate me.
Yeah, that's all right.
I have not watched the show.
That's all right. I'll cut this out.
I've seen my episodes.
No, that's okay.
Because I'm an actor.
Yeah.
But, like, I did a panel once for Community, a panel that was like guest star panel.
Sure.
And I was really hoping to avoid having to tell the audience that until the very first question that the moderator asked was, who of the other guest characters is your favorite? And I was like, I don't know any of these characters. So I was going to BS my way through it, just tell stories about working on the show and all that.
Yeah.
And then I was the first, I was like, I don't know any of these other characters because I haven't seen the show. So I do plan to watch it now that it's on Netflix, but back when it was originally on, I didn't have cable. So I didn't have NBC, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't rerunning on anything. It wasn't in syndication on anything. So I couldn't watch it. And so now that it's on Netflix, I'm going to go watch it. But at the time, it was not on. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Cool.
So that's the only reason, because I really wanted to watch it.
I'm not holding it against you. I cannot hold it against. There might be an evil plot against me if I do hold it against you, but from the dean. So no, that's really it's understandable. I think there's so many people for far worse reasons have not watched it, and you know, because they're like a fan of some other show and they're like, I'll never watch Community. That would be a terrible reason. No.
I'm thinking of stuff that has to do with the show. Like, I knew Joel McHale already when I did the show because he and I had done a television pilot together maybe 2 or 3 years before Community.
Okay.
So we were buddies. And so I see him from time to time. And so I knew him already, but I don't think I knew anybody else other than Jim. I think that was it. But yeah, I already knew Joel. And I think I knew Danny a little bit because Danny and I had the same agent. Oh, wait, no, I totally knew Danny because Danny and Joel and I were all in that same pilot together.
Oh, funny.
I just remember that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was called?
It was called Giants of Radio, and it was written and directed by Jason Weiner, who went on to direct, like, pilot for Modern Family.
Okay.
And then went on to write and produce other television shows and direct. He directed a bunch of Modern Families and he directs a bunch of sitcoms now. But yeah, he did that. That was like his sort of like big break that got him, you know, his directing career for sitcoms. Mm-hmm. But we were all in that pilot together. And that pilot like got a lot of buzz. It didn't get picked up. It was CBS, it was a CBS pilot, but ended up not picking it up, but it got a lot of buzz and really helped all of our careers, you know, after that, in spite of the fact that it didn't get picked up. But yeah, I knew Joel and Danny from that pilot, and Danny and I were had the same agent at that time for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the same agent.
Interesting. Yeah, that's great. Well, that's my community questions. I'd love to talk to you more about, you know, then your acting and writing career after that, if that's okay.
For sure, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Because it's really impressive. You're clearly a busy man.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
I like being busy. So
yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. You know, so what, this is a split question then. What do you love most about the acting side?
Oh, God. I guess I would say for acting comes so, and I don't mean this in a humble brag kind of way at all.
No.
Acting comes so easily and naturally for me because I'm a ham. I love performing for people.
Yeah.
I love, like, you know, I'm the guy who's, if I'm with my friends, I'm the one trying to hold court and tell stories and make everybody laugh. So I love it. It's why I love improv so much and why I still do like improv shows at the Groundlings and stuff, because I love jumping on stage, being silly, making people laugh. I just love that. So that's why I love acting. I mean, I love playing different characters and all of that, and, you know, playing people who are so different from me, because I feel like I never played a character that is me, because that doesn't interest me at all. I always like to play a character that I can take on and really be someone else. Don't ask me why. I'm sure someday a psychiatrist could probably answer that question, but I really love playing people who are so completely opposite from me.
Well, I think it's kind of the, like, why I enjoy sitting on this side of the microphone and asking questions, because it's really fascinating to go, you know, Jordan, tell me about yourself, and, you know, I'm really getting to know you and your background. So, I'm not acting. I'm doing a version of that of you know, understanding a character, and I think that's what you're doing with acting as well. Like, you're getting to know this character by playing them. So that's
Yeah, definitely trying to.
Yeah.
What I love about writing, particularly television writing, is A, it's still, because in television, it's still ensemble work, which is, as an actor, that's what you like, is working with other people, working with other actors. So with television writing, you're in a room with other writers and you're working together on this show. And I love the camaraderie of that and ensemble of that and being with talented, funny people all day. And then what I love especially is that with writing, when I'm staffed on a show, I get to be creative every day. Whereas as an actor, you know, I'm going from job to job, show to show. So there might be weeks on end where I'm not acting, I'm not working. And then when I do work, it might just be for a day or two or 3 days or whatever. You know, if I'm just guest starring on something, which is what, you know, I do mostly is sitcom guest starring. So you just, you know, you work a couple of days, a few days, and then you're off for who knows how long before you get your next gig.
Yeah.
And with writing, I get to be creative every day. You're creating the show and coming up with ideas for the show, and, you know, and you're making it every single day. And I love that about writing. I love being in the writer's room and creating something from scratch.
Did you get to observe the writer's room at all with Community? Did you get to do that?
No, I would have loved
it. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
But back then I wasn't really pursuing writing at all. I was just acting then. And, I'd done writing in the past, but I had taken a long break from staff writing at that point and was only acting. So it wasn't even in my mind to think about it. Yeah. Otherwise I would have loved to have gotten to be a fly on the wall in that room or even written on that show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So you're alluding to being on SNL before Community, doing the staff writing. What was that like? I mean, that's a pretty big feather in your cap to.
Yeah. I mean, SNL is like getting shot out of a cannon, you know, like your life changes immediately. You know, I was a writer on SNL and it was an exciting and challenging place to work. I mean, it's a hard job because the hours are so intense and insane and everything, and the stakes are so high because every week you're trying to get something on the air. But it was also very rewarding in the sense because SNL was the first show I'd worked on, writing and acting, the first show I worked on that had cultural relevance, where people knew of the show, and if you told people what show you're working on. They didn't have to ask me, well, what channel is that? And when does that come on? And it was just like, it's Saturday Night Live. Everybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
So it was great to be a part of something where you knew it was going to have cultural impact every week. And so that was real. And then, you know, it was my first time being around like A-list stars, you know, because every week we have a different star come in and host the show. Obviously, everybody knows that. And so it was my first time being around all these big name stars. You know, you spend a week with them. It was like, it was crazy. It was kind of crazy to have that experience, you know. You know, you got Alec Baldwin one week and Halle Berry the next week, Janet Jackson another week, Ben Affleck another week. It was just crazy that was your life every week, you know.
Yeah.
And then just the pressure of the show, which for me was good pressure because I do well under pressure, I think. But the pressure of the show and just the sheer exhaustion that you have from it is really, really, really intense.
Who is doing Weekend Update? That's kind of like how I can measure.
It was Jimmy and Tina, and it was great. I think they were the best to ever do it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy and Tina were the best to ever do Update, and it was. And I really like Colin and Michael Che. I think they're my second favorite.
Yeah,
doing it, but Jimmy and Tina, it was Jimmy's last season on the show when I was there, and that was my favorite thing to watch every week, to watch the rehearsal, to watch it during the show. I would always, and even when I left the show, I always made sure to watch, actually Jimmy wasn't there anymore, so it was just during that season. I always made sure to watch Jimmy and Tina do Update. I just loved it so much.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with Tina Fey. I mean, she's pretty much
brilliant. She is brilliant. She's the best comedy writer I ever worked with. And by a mile. I've worked with a lot of great comedy writers.
But was she head writer at that point?
Yeah, she was head writer.
Yeah.
And I've never written for anybody or with anybody who could see comedy the way she saw it. You know, how to structure a joke, how to structure a scene, a sketch. She just knew her stuff. She was like, I always say she was like Neo in the Matrix when he could see the code.
Yeah.
That's Tina Fey with comedy writing. She sees the code and she can manipulate it however she wants.
Yeah. Do you have a sketch or two that you really liked from that you got on the show?
Yeah, my first sketch I ever got on was probably my favorite. It was a sketch that I wrote with Jason Sudeikis because he wasn't on the air yet. He was just a writer on the show at that time, and we shared an office. He and I started the same day, and so we shared an office, so we wrote a lot together in the beginning. And Justin Timberlake came on to host the show. It was his first time hosting, and he had just done Punk'd, where they punked him in the first season of Punk'd. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know, really popular show. And his episode was particularly popular because they made him cry. And so he really wanted to do a parody of Punk'd because he wanted to get revenge on Ashton Kutcher. So Jason and I wrote that parody and Justin loved it. And it went on the air and did really well, and it got a little buzz and stuff like this. This was pre-YouTube, so it didn't go viral because there was no viral back then. But whatever version of viral, it went. It was like people loved it. Everybody was talking about it, you know. And so that was my first one, and it was that's the first thing I got on the air, and it was my favorite as well. Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story, though, just tell you about what it's like to work with Lorne Michaels.
Sure.
Because Lauren is also brilliant at sketch comedy. Like, he gives you the team. He and Tina had that in common, that he could just give you the teeniest note and you'll go like, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Of course that makes sense. And Lauren would never really, at least with me, and newer writers would be my guest, when he would give notes, he wouldn't really look at you. He would just say notes out and you had to scribble them down or whatever. And very intimidating. And when this sketch, when we were doing it for a rehearsal with the audience, they rehearse in front of an audience and they do a whole run through, and it was killing. It was just killing. The sketch was killing. So Jason and I are just thrilled sitting there with Lauren, and Lauren turns to us and he says, "It's working on his charm." But I first heard it's working. So I smile and nod. And then I hear On His Charm, and I realize, oh, you think the sketch sucks, but thank God Justin Timberlake is in it, is what you're saying, which is what he was saying.
Yeah.
So I'm smiling, going, yeah, and I go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Lorne wouldn't let us have that our sketch was killing. We were two new writers, and he was not going to let us feel good about our sketch doing well.
Oh, that's really funny.
But that was just, and he was probably right. Now, don't get me wrong. He was probably 100% right. But I was still glad. I don't care if it's working on his charm. All I know is I wrote it.
Yeah.
He's, the audience is dying and it's going to be in the show tonight. I don't care why.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a win. That's a win in my book.
Yeah. It's a win for me. I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Like, please. I don't care if the whole night works on his charm.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, so then
so that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. So then you've done a bunch of different other shows at this point, from a writing standpoint. You were on the OG.
Yeah, Laugh OG was great, yeah. Alex. That was such a great gig. I wrote on the second season of that show. We had a great writers' room, and it was just, we had so much fun every day. I'll tell you, this was part of what made it great for me was we had an all-black writer's room, except we had one white writer, Mary Fitzgerald, who might as well have been black. She was, we jumped her in. And so we were all, you have all these black writers who've all written on different shows, but rarely gotten to work with other black writers, and definitely never got to really work with majority black writers.
Hmm.
So we'd be in that writer's room, and we would be having so much fun, and we'd be so loud. Our room was so loud. And when I'd have to be like off on script or off on outline, you know, writing my episode, and my office was down the hall from the writer's room, I would be in there and I'd hear them laughing so hard. And I'd be like, oh man, I want to get back in the writer's room. They're having so much fun in there.
Yeah.
I got to get back in there.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to be off on script in here by myself? You know, that was so much fun. We had a great showrunner, Saladin Patterson, and just great, talented writers. Everybody was just so amazingly talented in that room and had so much experience, so many really experienced writers and writer producers. And yeah, that was a special, special. We all keep in touch too. We still have our text chain where we all check in with each other all the time.
Hmm.
And even though none of us are there anymore, but
yeah,
it was really great. And that was a great show. And I didn't work on season one, but I loved it. So I was so excited to get that job. And I remember when I was brought in for the job, for the show, and I'd worked with Saladin Patterson a zillion years ago, which you probably saw in my credits. I wrote on a show called Stack. I don't know if that's in my credits or not. It might not be on IMDb. But I wrote on the show called Stack. And Saladin wrote on it as well. This was back in like 2004. And maybe 2005. And Saladin brought me in for this show. But I remember like saying to Saladin, like, he was saying like they want to make some changes, so they're bringing in new writers. And I got to watch season one in advance, and it was so good. And I came on and said, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what changes they want to make because I think the show's perfect. Like, I'm not trying to talk myself out of a job, but I mean, like, I think the show is brilliant. So, but yeah, it was so great working on that. And Tracy Morgan was great.
Yeah.
He came into the writer's room, and I already knew Tracy from Saturday Night Live because he wasn't on SNL when I was there, but it was his first season off the show.
Oh, okay.
And he would come back a lot and do guest spots.
Yeah.
So I got to know him then, and he was so lovely and just so funny and so nice. And so I'm a big fan.
Yeah. And so from the last OG, you're on The Last Man Standing now.
Yeah, Last Man Standing I'm on. And Last Man Standing, I've done the last two seasons, season 7 and 8.
Yep.
We're waiting to find out if we're coming back for season 9, so fingers crossed.
Okay, I'll hashtag that. We're going to hashtag that and make it happen.
Hashtag that, yes.
Okay.
And I got that job because when I was at Last OG, that showrunner was asked by one of the executive producers of Last Man Standing if he would recommend a writer, and he recommended me for that job.
Great.
And that's how I got that job.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was really great. And I went in and met with them, and they, you know, and they hired me. And that was a real, that that show, Last Man, has been a great, great, great education. Because no matter how much you work, you're always learning. And that show has been such a great education because it's the first time I worked on a show that was already established, that at that point had been on the, had six seasons already under its belt. So it's a well-oiled machine by the time I show up. So it was great to see a show that, to work in a writer's room on a show that wasn't trying to find its voice, wasn't trying to figure out how to please the network or the studio, not trying to figure out how to stay on the air. We're just writing the episodes. We just write the episodes. The show's already established. It's already a success. Already has its audience. The network is already happy. So let's just write the show we want to write. And that has been quite a great experience, I'll tell you. And 22 episodes, you know, a season.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never written on anything other than, well, you know, SNL was 20 episodes, so it's a very similar schedule.
Yeah.
Even though SNL is its own beast and nothing similar to it.
Yeah.
But it's similar episode count, I guess. But yeah, 22 episodes, which I'd never worked on, written on a show that was 22 episodes. So, you know, so just coming up with storylines and all that is the challenge on shows like that. But it's been absolutely great. And our showrunner, Kevin Abbott, he's like a dream showrunner because he just, like I said, he has the schedule down to a science. So we're not there all day. We get to have a life, you know. Tim Allen is great on set because he doesn't want to, you know, just shoot all night long. You know, we shoot the show a couple hours and we go home.
Yeah.
You know, we shoot live in front of an audience. We shoot a couple hours. We shoot the script. We might throw in a couple of alts here and there, and then we go home, you know. And I love it. It's just, it's such a great schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a different approach than to your acting then, you know, because you get to be home a little bit more. Not a little bit more. It's just how you were describing.
Yeah, when you're acting, you're on set the whole, I mean, it depends, you know. Multicam schedules are a little, what's the word? They're a little easier than single cam, if people understand the difference. Like, Community is a single camera show, meaning it's shot like a movie. It's no, there's no audience that they're performing in front of. There's no, they're not shooting, you know, in front of a live audience.
Yep.
Multicamera shooting in front of a live audience, your schedule's a little bit better because you're only shooting that day, primarily. And you do pre-shoots, but those days are short as well. And, and then, you know, and then you're just rehearsing, you know, a few hours a day on your other days. So.
I love, getting this, you know, inside information about, you know, how these shows are run and that's great.
Yeah.
You have any other thoughts?
Currently, while I'm waiting to find out about Last Man, I'm also, writing and producing, the new Punky Brewster for Peacock.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So that'll be, So we'll be shooting that whenever COVID lifts. We're in the middle of writing the episodes right now. And then that'll be back. Because, you know, they're doing, Peacock is doing, like, Saved by the Bell. They brought back.
Yep.
And then, so they also brought back Punky Brewster. And so, so yeah, that's my current gig. And, so awesome. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. Fun. Well, when that one goes back on, we'll make sure communities everywhere support our cast, and we'll hashtag that as well, and we'll watch it because that's an 80s throwback.
Great.
So yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's what I have. Those are my questions. I really appreciate it, Jordan. It was a pleasure. Thanks for being on Six Seasons in a Podcast.
The pleasure's been mine, Alex. Thanks so much for having me.